Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Brain Trust Podcast. My name is Adam Vass, and I'm a tabletop game designer in Southern California.
My name's Lee Epps. I'm a tabletop game designer in York, Ontario, Canada. Adam, what's up?
Just resisting. There's 1 1/3 French toast flavored Girl Scout cookies on my desk. I thought I would either pound them all before we started recording.
Dangerous idea.
Or have them during the break, which makes way more sense. But they're way too close to me. They're very close.
Oh, what's the spread like right now? What are we looking at?
Well, currently on the desk, there's just 1 1/3 French toast. They're called Toast Yay. Toast hyphen Y-A-Y. They're very good.
Is that a pun for something?
Not anything I've ever heard.
Is it just Toast Yay?
Toast Yay.
Toast Yay.
They're pretty good. I'm enjoying that. I think this is I don't know if this is their first year, but it's my first year having them. Mm. I got s'mores. I love I love s'mores. I love marshmallows, and they're not vegan or vegetarian. So I doubled up on s'mores boxes knowing that I would enjoy them. And had one yesterday. They're not actually, there's no marshmallow in there. It's more about the graham.
It's aquafaba blend, kind of a whipped aquafaba. Yeah, the thing about s'mores that I'm always kind of wanting some more.
Then I got some Thin Mints, some classics.
Are you eating right now?
I couldn't leave it there.
Are you eating a cookie?
Only the third of the cookie. Now it's gone already.
Well, welcome to our most sonically challenging episode.
People liked when we made coffee. It's like the same thing, I think.
It's the same thing. I got a cola on my table, so we are fully in the treehouse right now. We are absolutely podcasting from the treehouse.
I also got some peanut butter patties, which are a classic that I haven't opened yet. They're in the fridge. I like them a little chilly. A little Girl Scout hooky hack for you.
Do you have Thin Mints? I always put Thin Mints in the fridge.
Yeah, there's some of those in the fridge, too. I got two boxes of those, one in the fridge and one in the pantry.
Or in the freezer, rather. Do you put them in the fridge or the freezer? The freezer's like if you got a tooth that's irritating you, you would pop a Thin Mint in the freezer. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, I fridge. I don't freeze.
I'm learning stuff. But, before the app, you said you special ordered them from Boston, which I like.
Yeah, there's two bakeries that supply Girl Scouts with their cookies. And
it's like the Twix factory.
It's like the what factory?
Do you remember those ads?
Yes. They're across the street from each other.
The two Twix factories that were across the street. How did I remember that? Yeah, and they kind of work at opposite ends. And they're rivals, but their candy always got slapped together.
It's like that in that they don't, for whatever reason, they don't follow the same protocols, but they don't have the same recipes. There are two different cookies with the same name for each variant of the Girl Scout cookie offerings. So the East Coast one has more vegan ones, so that's why I loaded up. I had to outsource.
I like the Girl Scouts who sell them in Boston because they will just hassle you at the train stations. Like, it is not like anywhere else I've seen.
They know you want it. And there's also, because it's modern day, they all have card readers. So when you're like, oh, I don't have any cash, they're like, I know.
We got Square. Yeah.
Now pay up.
You can Venmo me.
So, yeah, that's where I'm at. Cookie paradise.
I like that. That's a very good place to be. Originally, we were going to do our intro about the Ever Given.
Oh, I didn't even. Yeah. I got my cookies shipped to us on location. Will, why don't you tell everybody where we're at?
Well, we're podcasting from the bridge of the Ever Given, which is currently mostly still stuck in the Suez Canal. Adam and I are here on location. We thought we would. Do we work here? I forget our backstory.
Oh, yeah. We're in charge of piloting the ship, and
we're getting games from the Panda Games manufacturing plant in China to Europe.
And we just wanted to take this moment to apologize. We know that you all put your trust in us getting you your games on time, And you know what? Life happens. Life just happens. There's nothing anyone can really do. We tried our best. The ship did get stuck. And you know, who's to say whose fault that is?
So right now we're kicking it on the Ever Given. Hey guys, thanks for coming back to this update. I just want to say sorry we missed our January and February update. We are back on track working. The boat is embedded into the channel in the Suez Canal, just to the bulbous what's that thing called on that tip?
A part of a boat or the part of the sand? Yeah,
it's called like the bulbous ballast.
I never heard these words before.
Okay, so a ship has... Okay, you know the Greek ship that had the knife coming out of the front of it?
No.
Okay, so there's this whole trireme situation. Come with me back to the Aegean Sea. Greeks are putting bayonets on their ships to, to destroy other ships in the Peloponnesian War.
Sure.
Peloponnesian War? The Polyponnesian War would have been impossible because they would have to go to Polynesia. The Peloponnesian War, they used ships with knives on them to carve into the sides of the knives. Fast forward to the Suez Canal and the Ever Given, mortal enemy of this ship, the Ever Given, is being stabbed to death by the bulbous ballast that's on the cargo ship.
And as we all know, the enemy of the Ever Given is Egypt itself.
Yeah, is Egypt. It's all the pilots in Egypt. What is morale like on the ship right now? Lots of people are asking.
It's a mixed bag.
We are finishing legacy games right now. That's what it's like.
That was going to be my segue. I was like, the boat staff, they're you know, occupying their time with a little role playing. And we thought we would take this opportunity to design a game. Oh, maybe that's the this week we're going to design a game for just people who work on cargo ships.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. People that work on cargo ships, people around the Ever Given right now. I love that. I would like to design a game for the captain of the ship.
Now, I think it's critical that the game for the ship captain has no emotional conflict in it whatsoever.
A lot of, like, any bleed will send this person over the edge.
We need the most pure escapism, and we also need just the most like positive energy. You cannot lose. There's no strife in this game at all.
I was gonna say, remember that game that was on Kickstarter that was like Jenga, but it's like with little fuzzy balls, and you make stack of these like cool fuzzy balls.
Yeah, I regretted not getting that. Just it looks fun, and like you obviously can use it for every brick tower game. I would like to play it with Starcrossed. I'd like to play it with Dread.
Yeah.
Did you see that movie called Save Yourselves? That was an indie movie that came out somewhat recently, like last fall.
No, what's the deal?
It's about this millennial couple who goes to a cabin to get away from their screens for the weekend. And it just so happens that that weekend is also when there is an alien invasion and that they are oblivious to it because they are not looking at their phones.
That's so good.
It's a comedy, and I'll call it a dramedy maybe, but the aliens in it are little fuzzy poof balls, and it would be an excellent Dread scenario with that tower. We should look at, what's it called? It's called The Fuzzies.
It's called The Fuzzies. So, yeah, I actually think that wouldn't be such a good game, because any game that requires the captain of the Ever Given to look at eye height or higher might draw his gaze out of a window remembers that he violated the ship into the shore of the Suez Canal.
I like the emerging design restrictions here.
We want this guy focused on the table.
On the table or on the ground? We're inventing like a shoegaze, the role-playing game.
Yes. Oh my god, that's perfect. Yeah. Like a game that has a lot of active play that requires maybe solo, maybe other people. Like, how do we get players that are a jury of the captain's peers?
You know what? I'm going to just nip that in the bud and say we need a solo experience, because I really don't think anyone else in proximity could possibly have like the kindness in their hearts to play a game with the captain and act like everything's fine.
Like, there's not much the captain can do at all right now. Like, there's not much for anyone to do, but they have to look like they're busy. And if a captain's like, who wants to play cards? you are going to rip him apart, like, limb from limb.
So here's here's a obtuse pitch that we're gonna need to theme it, and it's gonna not be easy, probably. Everybody ties their shoes. And, you know, people who work on ships notoriously are excellent with knots, right? I think that's a prerequisite to get a job as a ship captain.
Knot test.
So I think...
They actually measure the speed of ships with knots.
That's how much they care about knots.
Yeah, it's...
So I think we have a knot tying or a knot untying game that any passerby would be like, oh, the captain's ship, the captain's shoe just came untied.
They're working right now.
They just got to tie their shoe. They'll get back to it. But then the captain can be like, ooh, if I untie this, or if I, you know, seed my shoestring through this eyelet, my character gets +1. I don't know. What can we do with lacing your shoes as a game mechanic?
That's great. So I imagine it's the kind of game where you are like a inventor or some kind of alchemist, and you have the eyelets of a shoe and a string, and you create different shapes and basically like a Cat's Cradle style art with the my cradle art with the shoes. And you ever remember like lacing up your shoes in an interesting way?
Yeah,
that was something that happened like in middle school where I was like, I'm gonna figure out some cool ways to lace my shoes, like having it always be over like that, or soccer style. I remember hacky sack style I learned how to do.
I gotta tell you, this is definitely a thing I did a year ago.
What style?
There was definitely just like a day probably where I Googled like cool ways to lace your shoes or something.
In 2020?
Yeah.
And you know, when you weren't shoes.
Oh, I wear shoes in the house.
Oh, I'm in Canada. I'm not allowed to do that.
I know it's not going to be a popular thing, but I got to tell you, I wear my shoes in the house. There's a lot of reasons.
I love shoes in the house. I'll say it.
but I can't remember. Now, this definitely sounds in my head like a thing that you would do during quarantine of like, I don't know, what am I going to do today? Tie my shoes funny. But I'm pretty sure that this predates quarantine, and I might have done it when I was on tour because... I have a pair of Doc Marten, like, fake leather boots that I wear in the winter, and I bought them during the holiday season, which means I got free glittery gold shoelaces as a as a promotion, and I threw away the black laces it came with immediately. I've only ever used the glitter laces.
Because of the Doc Martens lace code, as you know, that red means you're a white supremacist. That blue means you're a white supremacist and you've killed the police. Yellow, I believe, is anti-racism. Like, you're an anti-racist. Black is normal. And glittery, well, you can go ahead and tell me what
glittery gold means that you are Adam Vass.
You are Adam
Vass. Tabletop game designer.
You are a game designer, Adam Vass.
Because even when I bought them, the clerk was like, all right, thanks so much. And I was like, the holiday laces, are they in the box? Oh, you want those? Yeah, could I get the gold ones, please? Like, I had to make a point that I came here for the gold laces, please.
I love that. I would do. I love gold. That's absolutely me.
I love.
I gotta know what interesting kind of lace up job did you do?
I think the one I stuck with, because it was a combination of like practical and kind of neat looking, was like every other eyelet would just go straight up and then, or then go crossways. So you had like stop gaps.
Yes. Kind of like a cinch.
Yeah. It looked like a ladder a little bit. Yeah. I know that there's a way to tie them to make a pentagram, and I'm pretty sure I tried that at some point.
So, Captain plays with shoes, and is, I don't know, demon summoner, and you summon different like sneakerhead demons with the different lace patterns that you do.
I didn't realize that my phone's audio was on it, and that the sound just went off, that I took a screenshot to send to you via text of this way of tying your shoes.
Let me see this. Oh, cool.
Actually, just pretty cool, so.
That actually rules. There's a third lace.
No, there's only two.
What's the gray one? Anyway. Tight.
Oh, you know okay, what? So, I do not know the answer.
So that's a game where the captain can only be looking down at the ground. What about a kind of site-specific game that could only be played by the crew in this position in the Suez Canal?
I think we're looking at a game that involves freight, like cargo holders, those big suckers, right?
Yeah, these big fucking suckers.
And obviously they're going to be too heavy to move, but there's the machine that does it. Do you think that there is that machine on the boat? Or I feel like in video games, when this is part of the mission, that's always like part of the pier and you have to park the boat right underneath it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the pier does the rearranging. I think definitely I'm on the ship. I'm figuring out which of these is filled with food that's about to go bad.
But they're presumably airtight. Because if it is food, it can't just be out there in the Egypt sun in this hot box.
Yeah.
I can't read this text and talk.
I just accidentally sent you a voice to text of what I just said.
That's a game where the captain can only be looking down at the ground. What about this kind of site-specific game that could only be played by the crew in this position in the Suez Canal? Yeah, it's a big book. Oh, yeah, the beer does the rearranging. I think I'm on the ship. I am figuring out which of these is filled with food that's about to go bad. It did a pretty good job.
That's a pretty damn good job. Anyway, sorry, you were saying.
Who knows? Let's take a break.
Yeah.
I don't even know what happens on a ship.
Well, maybe we figure out what happens on a ship.
It seems like the ship is like the size of a small town.
Yeah, it's a gameable space, right? So, like, the ship is stuck. You can't do your normal crew shit. Like, there's no poop deck to swab anymore because you've swabbed it all. And the hatches are fully battened.
What if we make a game for landlocked folks to role play that we are crew members on a ship? That's different. It's not a game for the ship folks, because you know what? I don't know if they can get podcasts there. I don't know what the service is like, especially at sea. But we know our listeners are, for the most part, in our Discord, and they we'll make a game for them about the ship or about.
Damn. If you've ever listened to this podcast while on the water, let me know.
I'm pretty sure that that doesn't work. Prove me wrong. I'd be happy to be proven wrong. I would love if technology worked in international waters, but I'm pretty sure that's part of it. It doesn't.
Yeah, podcast is terrestrial media. Anyway, I'm totally imagining some kind of battle royale game where you're using. I mean, the thing the ship has is cargo, so you're playing with the cargo. So,
but you need to get in there.
Like, dividing up warrior style through the ship, and the captain, it's like, it's actually like Escape from New York, but the captain has to escape from the Ever Given to start a new life somewhere in Egypt, in the deserts of Egypt.
I like the idea
that he's going to jail.
That there's a phased play. of like at the start, everyone works together to get the cargo things open because it's not a task that an individual can complete.
Yeah. But
once it's open, it's every person for themselves.
Right. So you roll up your individual cargo thing. So like maybe you get lucky and get the tranquilizer gun cargo tank. Maybe you're unlucky and you get a bunch of boxes of Gloomhaven of the reprint. The captain's not going to want to play a game. So you have to figure out the layout of the ship, how it's changed, how each different little gang of crew members is dealing with it, and other people who have snuck aboard the ship because it's just been like that. So you have, oh, it's a mega dungeon. Yeah, the Ever Given is a mega dungeon.
Yeah. So on the surface, you have this like crate maze, a labyrinth, if you will. And I think by the impact of the ship into the earth itself.
Yeah, the bulbous ballast.
The crates must have moved, right? Like, ships don't usually stop in that way. So, no, regardless of what speed, how many knots they were going, there's still going to be somewhat of a shift, probably a calamity. So, I like that the crate, the top level, is this where we start or is this where we end?
I think we're just building a complex system. So, like, you've got this top level of jostled around crates with different stuff inside it. You've got the under the deck stuff. Who even knows? We've only seen exteriors of the Ever Given. There could be Disney World inside of that
ship. It's super tall.
Yeah. So, you know, like you were saying, it is the size of a small city. So.
So, yeah, I mean,
crew quarters.
I think we get to populate the city. I think it might. We could set up procedures. We could set up some dice tables. Let me Google Ever. No, it does just give me a whole lot of news articles about the ship being stuck and then being not stuck. Oh, wow. So there's. I'm seeing the butt of the ship, and these cargo containers are like 12 containers tall.
Oh my god.
So this is really changing things for me. This is.
Oh, I see the same picture of the butt.
There's so many containers. So realistically, you can only get into exterior ones. This just became a strategy game. There fully is a game like
yeah.
this. And then looking at the bird's eye, there's a lot of rows, there's a lot of columns. There's just a lot of stuff on this ship. Holy crap. I think I lost the plot again.
Okay, so what if we are starting... there's cargo that we need, and each cargo... What is it? Shipping container is like a room in a dungeon. And so it's like the movie Cube.
They're not connected, though.
But you have the ability to like drill through.
Mm.
This ship is big.
Yeah, I wish we didn't open the Google. Because how are we coming back from just looking at the size of this ship?
Like, I've looked at the ship a lot. But I've never looked at the ship a lot.
I've just seen the one like meme picture of a regular sized bulldozer next to it, which is really funny.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, okay, I know how big a bulldozer is. This is a big boat. But even like, have you ever been in like a bar or something that's a converted shipping container?
It's big.
Yeah, you're like, wow, this is one shipping container and I'm inside of it. And this boat has... hundreds of them.
Okay, so it's overwhelming and it's not something that we can plot out or understand as players, right? Like, you just can't do it.
Yeah. Is there a game where we can be the tugboat
folks? Yeah, it's definitely
the rescuers, game. The Ever Given rescue squad.
Okay, so the Ever Given is represented by a 2-liter bottle of soda that is on the table. And each of us can use our pinky, and we tie a string from our pinky to the thing, and we just got to use our pinky muscles to pull this big bottle.
I like, maybe there's there could be a dexterity nature to it of like the bottle is sideways on a table, and we're like throwing things at it from far away to try to get it to move, but we're throwing like Lego pieces, right? Like things that are not substantial enough that it's just going to knock the bottle off. But if we all aim well and we have enough like cohesion, like we all throw our pieces at the same time, like maybe we just need to nudge the bottle in the right way to get it moving and momentum will take care of the rest.
Yeah, so it's like we got that Rube Goldberg machine style game. Like that's definitely something you could just do tonight. I'm thinking of a game that is just the ship going perfectly through the Suez Canal. Like, that seems like a very difficult task if the last week has seemingly taught me anything. And so, kind of how good that feels to thread the world's most important needle in that way.
So, I'm picturing there's not a singular captain here. This is like a almost like a party game. We've got like six people who each have a length of string like tied to their finger or whatever. And they're all tied to the cap end of a 2-liter bottle on a table that's like, no one, you're not sat at the table. You're far enough away from it. Like pretty far. And then you build this, I mean, like you could have Jenga towers if you had multiple ones or any kind of just like things that will fall over.
Terrain.
Yeah, you have terrain around on the table that represents the bank walls of the Suez Canal. And then the ship is obviously the 2-liter bottle. And then you take turns like pulling your string to get it to move. But like because there are six people, nobody is just like pulling it straight forward. So it would require like, three of us need to pull at the same time and approximately the same strength to get it to do to move straight or whatever. Like you have to coordinate your movements with the other players. And I think all it takes then is some kind of randomizer. I mean, we have six players, maybe you roll a D6 and that's how many people are allowed to pull their strings at the same time.
And then so you have one wind player.
A saboteur, the captain. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wait, it's like a hit and roll game. And one, because there's six people, you don't know who's particularly pulling in which way or whatever. And maybe you're playing like in the dark and it's lit by different tea candles on the table. And the ship is moving through. Yeah.
The ship is opposite of water.
Well, maybe electric ones or whatever. Just so you like are making this channel basically that you're moving the ship through. The ship might, I don't know, piece of paper, something, I don't know. And you're each affixed to it by string, and one of you is the saboteur. And so you figure out as a group how to get it through. Do we have a saboteur? Who is it? How do we help against them in this, like, varying string tension game?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty killer, actually. Someone's going to make money off of that idea, not us.
Damn. The official, hey, why isn't there, you know, like when COVID happened, a bunch of people made really ill-advised COVID board games. Remember that period of the pandemic?
That's everything though. Like,
yeah.
Like I remember like the cryptocurrency board games that would kickstart and no one would back them. There's always election board games every 2 years.
Elections also have nice chess sets. I love that shit. So why not like a, Ever Given chess set.
Commemorative.
Commemorative.
Like, record this moment in time.
All the pawns are tugboats. And actually, every piece is a tugboat, except... Okay, wait, this is a game. You play chess, but your side is all pawns and a king. And each pawn has a string tied to the king or something like that. You're just creating, you're trying to move this bulbous ballast through the board to the other side. Area control chess. It's escort the payload chess.
I like, now that you mentioned that, Escort the Payload. Obviously, I just think of Overwatch. But that has, there's something to that in a role-playing sense. Like, that's a mode of play of some game.
That's something that I've been, like, one of the issues, one of the episodes of Torque will have rigs and everything. So you play Torque on this, like, board that's an abstract representation of the road. And so everywhere on this 3x3 grid is, like, the pack of cars moving on the road. And the road's moving around you and shit.
Now, Will,
and
how did you not lead with
Torque
Suez Canal Edition?
Damn Torque. It.
You drive the tugboats, or you drive the Ever Given, or any other, like, freighter ship that's going through. And the map, the board, is this abstract representation of the Suez Canal.
Yeah.
Oh, that's, I mean, we could have made that 2-minute episode.
Yeah, easy shit. I've never had so many people, like, hypothetically build a playset for Torque, just, like, as a framework. And it makes me just realize that I've, like, really struck on something, that every time anything, like, it could be
anytime
anything.
Anytime someone sees a vehicle, I see Torque.
It's Torque. Yeah, it's got to be Torque.
I'm going to drive this in Torque. Even just, like, 2 days ago, I sent you an illustration that someone did that was, like, it looked like a vehicle, like a car that was made out of fluid, like blood or something. And I just said, I'm driving the Bloodmobile in Torque. And, like, that doesn't mean anything. That sentence I just said is meaningless. But it's going to happen.
And people do that with other games, too. They're not like, oh, I saw an archer, now I want to go roll a
d20. Oh, I saw a popular superhero movie, I'm going to build that character in 5e.
I'm going to play mutants and masterminds. Yeah, no one's like, a YouTube I saw channel. Age of Ultron. I got to see what's kicking it with. You don't watch Blade Runner and you're like, but what if I played Shadowrun? Maybe you do. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, you get Torque. You just put the fucking, maybe you're playing, I was saying something before the whole Torque thing.
You know what this makes me think of is 30 to 50 feral hogs phenomenon. And then, like, the next day there was, like,
the guy's like, oh, it's real. You really shoot them.
Well, I listened to that podcast and I thought it was a pretty interesting story, but I was more so meaning, like, the next day you saw people posting their stat blocks on the DMs Guild and someone made a Troika background for 30 to 50, like, everyone gamified it instantly.
Yeah, not happening with the Ever Given.
Why not?
Let's stat up the Ever Given.
AC 1000.
Or AC 1, HP 1 million.
Oh, that reminds me of that Sandy Pug game, like 10 million HP planet.
Yeah, oh my god, that game's so fucking good.
I mean, you just play that with
the Ever Given. Just make it the Ever Given.
Lots of good games happening on the show today.
Hey, what daily abilities would you give the Ever Given? How many spell slots this guy got?
Oh, it definitely has, what are they called, like, legendary actions or whatever, where it just, like, I make my own rules now.
Yeah, I think the Ever Given has mentalist powers. It has psionic powers to get into all of our brains. Because it's really delivering, like, the anti-capitalist Schadenfreude through just existing. Like, we all wanted to stay there, whether we know it or not, like... We don't really have game in the luxury car business, so, like...
Right. There's definitely the mimetic nature, too, of just, like... And this has happened a few times. I mean, I think a lot of times, actually, during quarantine, just seeing everyone get fanatical about something. You remember Big Baby? I'm pretty sure that was last year.
Big Baby.
It's just a baby that was big. Like, it was a baby, but it was the size of a 4-year-old.
Okay, yeah. It's like the creature dog on TikTok.
Now, I don't know what that one is.
There's, like, top of my head. A dog with, like, some kind of, like, genetic spinal problem. And so it just looks like a Pokemon dog with huge, strong legs. like kind of.
I haven't seen that one.
Looks like an AT-AT from Star Wars walking around.
But there's certainly, obviously, a social aspect to just watching something on a global stage that is funny enough. Like,
yeah.
I'm trying to think of there's been a lot. I'm trying to think of more examples, but really, they're like so critical just for like everyone not going apeshit.
Yeah, it's like, I don't believe that we should have celebrities, but I do think someone should do a crime with a ship by accident. And I want that to be a celebrity. Like, I want Big Baby. I want 30 to 50 Feral Hogs. I want that guy who is really good at growing pumpkins, huge pumpkins.
But the thing is, we don't want the guy, we want the pumpkins.
Yeah, I want him to, if you get to this celebrity level, you should not have to worry about money in your life, but you also can never be a celebrity again.
I mean, oh, this is a good example, because you also go full circle. But the skateboarding guy who was drinking cranberry juice.
Right.
And everyone was like, this rules. And then everyone was like, let's give this guy some money because he lives in a car. And the cranberry juice company is like, okay, yeah, we're going to give him juice forever and also a truck. And then like everyone's like, this is excellent. This is good. This is the internet working for a positive thing. And then the guy's like, what if you could buy an NFT of this?
Yeah, obviously some Silicon bro explained to him what an NFT was, and he was like, okay, and then did it. Like,
and then the bro got 30% of it or whatever.
I just love that every like 29-year-old that works at a music label like Atlantic or something is just able to talk to Kings of Leon and convince them to do something. Or like fucking Aphex Twin or whatever, just be like, yeah, you should really do this NFT thing, it's huge. Elon, just saying Elon and nothing else, I think just gets like, yeah. So yeah, we've got this concept of like the celebrity spotlight. Like, we agree that we don't
the
like
milkshake duck.
Yeah, but it's not a milkshake duck. It's like, we can just give a fire hose of attention to an event. Here's the thing. We do not know who the captain of the Ever Given is.
They won't release their name.
Yeah.
For safety.
Yeah.
But and if they ran for president tomorrow, I'd vote for them.
I would absolutely vote. Yeah, for sure. Special election. I just need this person to, because I don't want them to go to jail. It was the damn wind's fault. And I've tried to put the wind in jail before.
When I did Google the ship to find the images, the second result was, it was like an op-ed, like, I've piloted a ship in the Suez Canal, and no wonder they got stuck.
What if we play that game, Guess Who, and you just try and figure out who the captain of the Ever Given is?
from looks alone.
Yeah, or just vibe. Like, you figure out, you try and come to, instead of the deal with Guess Who, which is you both have characters. If you're not familiar with Guess Who, it's a game where there's like 30 or 40 different avatars. Wow, they're different pictures of people, portraits. And you have one particular one, and you're trying to describe to your opponent what that character looks like, so they can, by process of elimination, determine who that character is. And so you see a lot on TikTok, people will play Guess Who and use subjective measures like, does this person look like the guy in my MFA class?
Yeah, that was how we used to play it. And I remember too, when I was like 20, one of our friends got one that another friend made for his birthday that was like all of our friends on it.
Wow, that's great.
It's great. It is imminently toxic. Does this person owe me $10? Oh, it's not them. Like, oh, you
what a backfire.
It's too close. Backfire. It's too close. You can't get away from it. But I do like the stock characters and asking like, does this person like eat the whole pizza when they order a large pizza, or do they save three slices? It's one or the other.
Right. And you're both trying to like come together on who one person is by asking these questions.
That and well, each of you are trying to figure out the other one's chosen person. So it's a it's competitive. But when you play in that way, it is how well do I know my friend? Which is a fun, different game. An like, does my friend think that this cartoon can eat a whole pizza? That's right. A different question than can the cartoon character eat the whole pizza?
An opposite game would be, how do we keep the identity of the captain of the Ever Given completely anonymous?
Yeah, there's an Among Us hack here.
Of powered like, by Among Us.
everyone is working on the ship. I mean, if they were, they're smart. They made a hugely popular game. I was going to say, if they were smart, they clearly are. But if they released a map tomorrow that was the Ever Given and all of the little buddies are members and one of you is trying to crash the ship into the canal wall, you just printed $1 billion.
Yeah, you've a global reach for a game.
I can't not say Among Us. Like, it's one
like
word.
One word. Yeah, it's really hard. Among Us.
Last week we did one episode, one game for maybe the first time ever, and I'm pleased to announce that this week we earned this.
Oh, I guess the only thing we don't have is like the ship behind the Ever Given. Like, what are the other captains of the other ships doing?
Chilling. I mean, I guess we should have made games for them, huh?
Yeah, let's make a game for them and then call it.
I was gonna say let's give some you fucking garbage truck. Are you serious? This is why we record on Sundays. I woke up at like 5:30 to garbage truck sounds.
Right, I feel like because the garbage trucks, there's a mob.
It should not be legal for them to operate at a certain hour. Neighborhood. I was going to say we just give a briefing of our current projects and call it good. Because I think, we can point at this episode and be like, hey, we give a little insight on the development of Torque and Cybermetal, and then listen to 45 minutes of us talking about a stupid boat.
Maybe we'll do that next week. So I think, first of all, the other captains of the other ship should each be playing a big role-playing game with their crew.
Oh, I mean, I think because they're captain, they've earned access to an upper echelon of game, which is with the other captains over whatever communications method they use.
Oh yeah, maybe they're doing like a shared world GM'd game. So each captain is responsible for like one faction in this like galactic federation. And they each report back when they have their phase turn or whatever, their faction phase. And then they play the big captain's game there.
I like, because the captains have in real life access to the fellows on their ship.
The fellows.
The other the fellows on their own fellows. Ship. But then the captains communicate. Oh my, you can hear it backing up. It's going to back up. It's going to back up the length of my street. No joke. The whole street, it goes backwards.
That's so funny.
I'm watching it now. I can see it.
What are they doing?
They're literally backing the whole length of the,
the street
to get out. It's a dead end at the end.
So they go to the dead end,
They can't turn around. They just back up.
Pick up whatever protection money that they get.
We could look at the timestamp. They were definitely not on my street for longer than 1 minute to do, like, they must have picked up a single house worth of trash.
No, yeah, that was at least 45 seconds. Like, yeah.
And then it took longer to back out of the street than it did to get the job done.
Ain't that how it is?
They should hire the Los Angeles garbage drivers to pilot the Suez Canal boats because they'll just back it up.
Why aren't they backing it up?
I had a thing. Oh, so the captains from different ships communicate remotely to one another, right? Like, so they have their own network of communications. So it's like a GM's only message board, right?
Yeah,
of like,
chat. Yeah,
that's where you can ask, like, one of my players is a jerk. What do I do?
A regular scallywag. One of my fellows is a scallywag.
They told me to walk the plank.
Can you believe that? In the game, they are, oh my god, what's it called?
A scallywag.
No. What's it called when a group of fellows become scallywags and overthrow a captain?
Mutiny! Maybe that's the game, is every ship is under the threat of mutiny. The captains communicate with one another remotely. It's a solo journaling game with a communicative aspect of each captain is in constant fear of mutiny, and the only other people they can confide in are fellow captains. because no fellow would understand the plight of mutiny.
Yeah, when your only verb is mutiny, you don't know what it is to be mutinied.
I like every captain is playing a wretched and alone game. They have the brick towers on their console, but they're still just like water is still moving even if the ships are anchored. So it's really, really hard.
It is, yeah, it's a very difficult game. I'm trying to think of a pun for wretched and alone right now.
I like this idea, actually, of having a communal wretched and alone, but you're instead of having, like, prompt-driven randomization, like, you give a prompt based on your experience to the next person in line.
Oh, cool. Yeah, so it's like a little bit machine, a little bit.
Yeah, like chain mail or chain letter kind of.
Yeah.
So everyone's playing their own iteration of this, and there's also like a telephone nature, I think, of misinterpreting a verbal communication,
right? And then the crew, because the captain wouldn't go and get it, like whatever radio operator has to connect and then get you to the other captain for you to relay whatever prompt you were on, so they can also feed information to make that captain's life harder to the group of fellows that will mutiny them.
This is a kind of fun thing that non-ship captains can play too.
Yeah, people just like you and I who will one day become ship captains, but not yet.
We role play as ship captains and we use our journaling game to record the pending mutiny and this growing distress of fellows on our ship as we're stuck in the Suez Canal. I mean, that's actually something fun.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And realistically gameable.
You would get all, yeah, you play a isolated but asynchronous solo journaling game, like a mixed solo journaling game, and then you're all pirate captains. And so you reveal, like, you have the storytelling phase at the end where you figure out who was mutinied, who lived, who's betrayed, whose identity was stolen, whatever, at Tortuga. So you have this like grand party and shit where you then reveal all the stories that you've woven together.
There's also an aspect of like, we heard there was a mutiny on that ship and that emboldens our fellows and now we're going to do one. Like if one captain player loses their game, their tower falls over and word gets out about that, then that affects the other people who are still playing.
Okay, cool.
So there's ripple effects. It's a solo game that's connected with other players. And when one day-to-day actions don't necessarily affect one another, it's just a method of keeping in touch and just being in a community as you play a solitaire game. But then there has these like tentpole moments that could send ripple effects to other players. That's actually pretty cool.
That's cool. I think so. Like, let's say it's a Discord that you're a part of,
yep.
And each you play once a week, but each captain plays on a different day. So there are seven players, and for each captain's day, so like let's say on Monday you're the captain. You're a fellow who becomes a captain. Congratulations. Every other player in the Discord now role plays as a member of your crew that can affect your prompt for that day. And so when you're done with that day, it goes to Tuesday. That's Will.
Oh, yeah. You just put different channels for the days to keep the information straight.
Exactly. And then everyone else is my crew. So they switch characters to become my crew, and then they affect it that way. So you have this asymmetrical game that's shifting every day. Say you play, this is just like for the example of 1 week, maybe you play at a different time scale or whatever, but yeah, it's all affecting each other, secret messages, all that shit.
Right. I think in a standard Wretched game, like every card flip is a day, and obviously you play the game for, I don't know, half an hour, what's the average? your tower's going to fall.
However many days there are for this ship being stuck.
Or until you knock it down. But so you could realistically... I like the Discord time play, especially because, like, realistically, no one's available at the same time every day. So, like, you did your one. You know, when I was captain on Monday, I can show up some of the other times, but I probably won't be 100. And I think that's fine because I'm the supporting cast, or I'm not necessarily critical character-wise on the other days. But to dilute it to a more singular gaming experience of having this be a thing, like a deeper time abstraction that you do in one session, right? Like you just play in an afternoon. Everyone just takes a turn, right? Like I flip a card, I pull the bricks from the tower, and then it's somebody else's turn. So that cycle of everybody going is one shared day. That was all of us having our same Sunday, but we're all in isolation because our boats are separate from one another. So what happens to me on Sunday isn't going to mess up anything for you because it's happening at the exact same time. But then once you've done one cycle, that's when you can like take stock of the other people's, that's when there's the fallout, I guess, from individual actions. So like, that's when if there was a mutiny, now everyone's game gets harder because the likelihood of mutiny on your ship is higher somehow.
Right. Like, and the full metagame is over when everyone has been mutinied or there's one left or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
Accidentally coming in at the end.
Inventing a game framework and nailing it. And by that, I mean, we've all got little strings tied around our pinkies pulling this episode of the Brain Trust Podcast out of the canal. Adam, where can people find you online?
I'm at worldchamp.io. I have Scratch and Claw coming out next week, April 5th, at worldchamp.io/store, where you can get card packs. I scratched another one off today. I've been resisting the urge to just scratch a bunch of them off and see the results because they're just cool. For people
who don't know, what's the deal with Scratch and Claw?
Scratch and Claw is a mutated animal wasteland gang game that's a combination of like Ninja Turtles and the Warriors. And your character is procedurally generated from over a quintillion options of... And obfuscated by a scratch off like a lottery ticket. So each card is unique and it has your character's animal and skills, the things that you want and the things that you're afraid of, generated from this like immense randomization list. And so every card is different. Like there's a 0% chance that you're going to get the same thing as anyone else.
Right.
The common rules are printed on the back too. So it's really slick, like rules light, fun game. Like you fight other gangs, you find parties. I would say it's PG-13 plus because there's actually quite a lot of references to drugs and alcohol in some of the random generations. And there's no way to know if yours will have that or not. So, for example, the one I'm holding is a camel who can heal by consuming a copper coin. And by collecting six records, I can pursue my goal of hiring a spy.
Nice.
At all costs, I should avoid blood truck. And so it has a lot of this tech that I really like of procedural games of like, there's no information anywhere what blood truck is, but I know that it's something that should cause me pause. And then I as a player and we as a group get to explore what that means. Or like, why would I hire a spy? And why is the spy only hireable by paying them in records? Like, there's a bunch of cool, fun... And because it's random, every group is going to have these really weird groupings of things they want and how to accomplish them. That comes out in a couple of days. Worldchamp.io/store will have the cards.
Yeah, definitely pick up a bundle and just have it be your next session of a game. Like, that is just perfect.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I think, obviously the passing around of cards and scratching them off in person is going to be really great. But realistically, this is a game that, because it's so rules-light, could easily be played by individual people having cards at home.
Yeah, we should a bunch of us in the Brain Trust get it.
Oh, yeah.
Play. That would be
a good idea.
Cool. Expect that and more. And do you want to give a little Cybermetal update?
I am working on it in earnest, which is a lot more than I have
been there.
Making the art for it. I started writing character options today. It's cool. It's going to be like a low-tech cyberpunk wasteland with demons. So everyone has a computer in their brain, but it doesn't have very much memory, so you can only run one app at a time. And the apps are downloadable over like peer-to-peer file sharing. So there's no wireless technology. You have to plug in to do anything that you want that involves technology. But then in between those plug-in spots are when you are operational. So you can basically like change your class, change your subclass, as long as you're connected to broadband. And then in between those connections is when you explore and do combat and otherwise fuck shit up.
So cool. That's awesome. I can't wait to see what else you make. And I also know that we did some Wastelanders work too last week. Adam wrote the whole rules for it. So
yeah, I liked it a lot.
Yeah. We're going to make something really cool with that. Just stay tuned. I'm Will. You can find me at will.ca. I am back into working mode after moving in. So Torque Development is starting back up. I turned on the engine and it needed a jump, you know, when Jesse and Walt need the jump and they're in the desert and they have a really bad couple days. That's me. And other developments going well on shit. What else is going on? I think there should be coming up soon a Draw Your Dice bundle that Jeremy Gage is running. So check out that on the horizon. And otherwise, brain emoji, handshake emoji. Ship emoji, Suez Canal emoji, explosion emoji,
mutiny emoji,
fellow emoji.